tongues. So we are praying. At that point in time, if you are not praying in tongues, you are being stubborn. The Spirit of God is working there. If we say we are worshiping and we are all singing, and you are just doing, what are you? You are being stubborn. And then at the end of the day, you say, God did not bless me in this service. What were you expecting? No. We are not stubborn men. Hallelujah. We are able to give and receive. Please just have your seat so that we don't teach and enter another direction in our service. Oh, glory to God. It is so easy to be blessed in a service. So easy. So easy. Come with an expectation. Come knowing that I am going to church, a gathering of saints, of which I am one. I am a saint. Other saints are there. Simple. Come having an expectation. In this service, I must understand. In this service, I must learn. In this service, I will be well taught. In this service, I will receive healing. Have an expectation. And then when you come, whoever you sit beside that day, hey, be expecting enough. Simple. Your neighbor must be ready to bless you. And you must be ready to bless. That is how it is. And at the end of the day, we've all given and received. Finished. Chicken. And we have had an awesome time. So are we ready to be blessed? Tell your neighbor again, neighbor.
Yeah.
I'm the God that will bless you in this service. Expect it. You must expect it. We'll get there. Hallelujah. All right, let's continue our study. Praise God. Are we ready? Remember where we stopped the last time, right? We are trying to demystify Trinity, if there's anything like that. And we have seen that that word Trinity is nowhere written in the Bible. Divine, why are you at the back? That word Trinity is nowhere written in the Bible. Divine, are you a nursing mother? I don't see a baby you are controlling. Come and sit where you should. Praise God. All right, so we have seen that before the incarnation, Christ existed as the message. John 1, as that intention of God. John chapter 1. John 1. So we read again and start from there. Are we ready? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we said that that means in the beginning was the intention, the utterance, the thing spoken, the intention and the message of God. And that message is God's message. It was God's message, and God himself will be the one to make that intention happen. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we have explained all that, that what was made by him and the things that pertains to life, things that receive life. And we have seen how men were defined by that same intention through their either believing or rejecting of that. But the intention defines man's identity. Okay, verse 5 now says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Verse 8, he was not that light, and John was not the light, he was just a witness, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Verse 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now verse 9 tells us clearly that every man will have a witness of that intention at one point or the other. There will be a witness of that intention, that God's intention, in every man in this world, that cometh into this world, at a point or the other. Because it is that intention that defines man. Don't forget. So, gosh, if you want to get more understanding of that, we have a series, Understanding Genesis, series 1, 2, and 3. So that was clearly explained there, how a man, even without hearing the gospel, will have a witness of God's intention because he has the Spirit, or a spirit. All right, now let's continue. Verse 10, he was in the world, that's Christ, the Word. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, what does this mean? That he was in the world, but the world did not receive him. Came unto his own, and his own did not believe him. Don't forget, we said that there is no incarnation before the incarnation. Before Jesus was alive physically, he was not alive as a man anywhere at all. So, he was only existing as we see it as the message, the intention, the word. So, if we now say that he came to his own and his own believed him not, will mean that that intention was presented to men and some men did not receive it. Even though it is him that should define all men. Is that clear? That's why it's his own. So, some men did not receive that message, that intention. But those who received, they were given power, the authority to be the sons of God. Were they sons? What did they receive? Now let us look at that briefly. You know Romans 5:14? Please be ready to open scriptures. Open as quickly as you can. You can finish as quickly as we should. Romans 5. Verse 12. Whereby as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all that sinned. Verse 13 now says, for unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of what was to come. Alright, so now we have seen that, of course, we have studied that in influence and understanding Genesis and the appeal of God. And we have seen that, understanding salvation, I mean, our salvation and the appeal of God. We have seen that in verse 14, those who death reigned over from Adam to Moses, even those who had not sinned, Adam's transgression, as we reminded ourselves again this morning, was that he rejected the intention. So by rejecting the intention, a state of death was introduced, and that state of death passed upon all that also rejected the intention. Very simple. However, even those who accepted the intention, death still reigned over them. Death still had a certain level of authority over them. And what was that authority? It was simply the fact that they could not have life. Death reigning over them, even those who received the intention, was that they could not have life. Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. We're explaining John 1. So where we are now is that he came into his own and his own believed him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. So there they were not yet sons, but they had authority to be. And why could they not be sons? Why? Because a reign of death was still over them and they could not have life. That's what I have said in summary, in a nutshell. So Galatians 3 now explains more why they could not have life. Verse 18. Bookie? This is disturbing. That bookie can go from that. Okay. For if the inheritance from Galatians 3:18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. 19. Wherefore then severed the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Don't forget, when we are reading in the first part of the sermon, we're talking about the seed, right? So the scripture speaks concerning or spoke concerning the seed. All right, so it's now saying that until the seed should come, that the promise was made, the law was added because of transgressions. 20. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture had concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster until Christ. You see that to bring us is in italics. The law was our schoolmaster until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So if you see verse 23 again, you will see that before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up until the faith which should afterwards be revealed. That means, until Christ came, men could not be sons of God. That was why the last time we saw that the word father came because sons were around, or there was a son. No son, no father. So, before Christ came, before faith came, men could not receive that fullness of life. All they had was life as a promissory note. Let's see Hebrews again. Hebrews 11. This is a study. You must understand the things that make your faith. What do you believe in? You must be ready to explain because you understand. Okay, Hebrews 11. Verse 38. This is the summary of all the many as described, because the persons that were atomized, as we have seen earlier in Hebrews 11, were persons who that intention were presented to, right, at different ages, different dispensation, and they accepted. However, they still could not have life. So, verse 38 now says, in summary of all of them, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained what? A good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So you see that all that these ones received was confidence. They received a good report. They received validation. They received a promissory note, life as a promissory note. And in Galatians, we saw that they were shut up until the faith that they were expecting should be revealed. Then Hebrews 12:1 now says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, Jesus here, author, perfecter of faith. That means the faith that should be revealed was Jesus. Pius, do you understand? Okay. Galatians 3 says that men, before Christ came, they were under the law, in bondage, shut up until the faith that should be revealed. Okay? That means they were in bondage without life. And we have seen Romans 5:14 that says that death was reigning, even those who did not reject the intention. Why? Because until there is a manifestation of Jesus, they will not be able to receive life. Without the incarnation, there will be no life to receive. But they obtained a good report. Do you understand? Is that clear now? No, before we are done, you will get it clearly. So without the incarnation, all those who had believed the message communicated to them will still be under a reign of death. They will still be under the reign of death. No incarnation, no complete deliverance. No complete life. That means that intention, that message alone was not fully enough. It was enough to give them a good report, to give them an assurance of what will come, but not what actually they are expecting. Now let's go back to John 1. John 1. I said all this to make you understand that the incarnation was necessary. The incarnation was important. Without Christ being revealed, there will be no life for men to fully get. Simple. That's all I've been saying. All right, so verse 14 now says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Don't forget where it started from. In the beginning was the message, the intention. That intention was communicated to men. Most men did not accept it. Those who accepted, they had the authority to become sons. But were they sons? No. That means that the incarnation was necessary. So what was the next thing we saw? The Word became flesh. That intention became flesh. Became means it happened. It came to be. That's Jinomai. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Now, so this simply says that flesh there means born of natural generation. That's a human being. The Word, that intention, that message became a human being. But as you are reading it there, it does not mean, boom, African magic. Just close your eyes and, okay, you are even looking. I know something just appear, pew. What would that one be? Horror movie. Everybody starts screaming. No. The Word becoming flesh did not happen like that. It also followed the natural human progression. We can trace it. Okay? God doesn't do spooky things. When he says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, we were able to see, we beheld it. So now let's trace. Matthew. At the end of this sermon, you should be able to answer if Jesus is God, if Jesus is not God, if Jesus is a God, if he is a type of God, if he is assistant God, and all the plenty things people say concerning Jesus. That is the purpose of our understanding. Matthew 1. From verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So, this clearly says that utterance has already spoken about this. You see it in Isaiah 7:14, that a virgin will conceive. and bring forth a son. And that word Emmanuel means God with us. That means with us is God. Us there is men, humanity. Among men is God. So when you are identifying persons that have been on earth, you'll be able to point and say, God became a man. God was a man. All right? So that is the meaning of God with us. And we also see him growing. Luke chapter 2. This was him being born. We're going to trace it. Luke 2. Conception was as it was written. Luke chapter 2. Verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So we see the birth being documented there. We saw the conception. Now we have seen the birth. Let's see that same Luke 2, verse 21. And being when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so called of the angel when he was conceived in the womb. So we see him being circumcised, right? All right, let's see verse 40. That's in chapter 2, verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So he grew like a normal child, like the way human beings grow, like the way you yourself grew. All right, now verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And then we saw what happened there. He was discussing with the teachers of the law. So what age was documented there? 12 years old. We've seen birth. We've seen childhood. Then in verse 52, we'll see, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So we can trace his natural progression as a human being. Birth, nurturing, growing up. He was fully human. We have a record of his childhood. This is the progression of a human being. But let's go back to John 1:14. All we explain now is the Word was made flesh. That means he became a human being. All right. And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So what will the only begotten there mean? The only begotten. Only begotten. It means that we must not lose sight of the incarnation in his humanity. There is divinity in this humanity. As you can trace that he is a man, fully man, you must not forget where he's coming from. It is not just a mere human being. Let's see Luke 1. Luke chapter 1. Verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So him being called the Son of God refers to the nature of his conception. that even though you are going to be giving birth to a man, this is the Son of God. There is a reason why John kept saying the only begotten of the Father. As at the time John was writing, as Jesus resurrected, as at the time John was writing is John 1, as Jesus resurrected, yes. So did we have people that have believed? Do we have sons of God? So why did John still keep referring as the only begotten? I know then they used to say that that was a mistake, that God, it was really like God only had one son, but now he had plenty of sons. There's a difference in the only begotten and sons of God. Let's see John 3. John knew what he was writing about when he still made that distinction. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called what? 1 John 3:1. Are we there? All right, let's read again. Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called what? The sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because he knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So, this John knows that they were sons of God already. That believing the testimony of Jesus makes man a son of God. But he still referred to Jesus in John 1. Let's go back to John. John chapter 1. Verse 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see it in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So what he's referring to, he speaks of his origin. That only begotten speaks about how he came to be. That though he's fully man, but this was God who became a man. Even though we are sons by believing, no one else is a son like this. Is that clear? Only begotten speaks of his origin, where he came from, how he came about. He is man. We can see him as man, but this was God who became a man. You cannot accept his humanity and reject that incarnation. That means you cannot accept his humanity and reject that origin. You can't accept that Jesus is a man. Yes, Jesus is a man. Jesus is a man. And not believe that he was God who became a man. That means that clear. Are you following me? Okay. That's why it's called Jesus Christ. Speaks of the divinity in his origin. We are going to continue reading again. That's in John 1. Wait for you. John 1. Okay, from verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I speak. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Verse 18, let's read it together. Good. No man has seen God at any time. Now that no man there means nothing. Nothing, no one, in a never, whatever how you want to explain it, no one. No one means no one. No man, no human being, no animal, no eye. No one, no angel. Has seen God at any time. No man has seen God with his eyes. Why? God is a spirit. John 4, right? God is a spirit. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, we are told that man is spirit, soul, and body. That means as you are seated here, you are spirit, soul, and body. How many of you have seen your spirit? Have you seen your spirit? Your spirit will walk past you. No, if you have seen your spirit, let me know. When you are passing, you see your spirit. If you cannot see your own spirit, how can you see God? Do you understand? Your own spirit that makes up an integral part of you, and you cannot see your own spirit. So spirits cannot be seen with their physical eyes. That means when you read accounts, I know you've read Old Testament, and they said, and God spoke with Moses, how? But here we say, no man has seen God at any time. So could that have been God? No. Did Adam see God? But God was walking in the cool of the garden and fellowshipping with them. But John 1:18 says, no man has seen God at any time. That no man there, if you check the meaning, it's not talking about man specifically. Say any as in nothing, no one. Man, human, no one has seen God. So once it comes to God, no one has seen him. But the Bible now tells us that the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom, that word there is literary, that's figurative, I mean, which is in the bosom, he's just talking about proximity, where it's coming from. This one came from God. I declared him. That declaring there means it has unveiled, to tell a story, to narrate. The only begotten narrates God, explains God, unfolds God. Please note, the scripture does not call Jesus God. Since we have been reading, did you see anywhere that says Jesus is God? Huh? No. What you see here, it said, the only begotten, which is at the bosom of the Father, had declared him, has explained him. He did not say that only begotten is God. All right. Now, what does the scripture call God? Well, call Jesus, since he doesn't call him God. It doesn't call Jesus God because a man cannot be God. It's right clearly. A man cannot be God. Have we traced Jesus' humanity? Yes, that he was fully man. So because he is a man, he cannot be God. Scripture calls him the Son of God. What does that mean? That's what we are going to explain now. Colossians 1. This religion believes that Jesus is not God, which is true. The scripture says Jesus is not God. Jesus is the Son of God. How does the scripture explain Jesus? Colossians 1. All right, are we there? Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So, what does that mean? Verse 14, in whom, of course, in whom there will be referring to who? The Son. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So, in this Son, we have access to the blessing of God that was promised man. Don't forget what we read in the first sermon. That promise that God has been making, the summary is that permanent forgiveness of sin, man will be in God's image. So, in whom, in this Son, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15. This Son, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Which word was used to describe God in verse 15? Paracletus, read in verse 15. Which word was used to describe God? In verse 15, which word was used to describe God? Invisible. Invisible means you cannot see. Who is the image of the invisible God? So you cannot see God. Even the epistles call him invisible. But concerning the Son, what was used to describe the Son now says the image of that invisible God. Image there is icon, which means a profile, a representation. A representation of the God you cannot see. The profile of the God you cannot see. God is invisible eternally. God is God. Verse 16 now says, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. For he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It pleased there means that this is God's choice. This is God's doing. It is God's wish, God's choice, God's making that the fullness will fully reside, that's dwell there, will fully reside in a man, in the Son. When we say fullness, what do we mean? Colossians 2. Just flip to the next chapter. Colossians 2. Verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Verse 9 now says, for in him, so that in him will be who? Christ. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So, what is the fullness that resides in Christ? Divinity. That's Godhead there. Deities. The things that pertain to God. Divinity. The states of being God. So, it pleased God that everything that pertains to being God should reside bodily. Bodily there is physical, having a human nature, will reside in a man. God finding expression in a man. That is express image, that's image there, icon, representation. Expression in a man. It is God's choice. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. Ready to open your Bible. We are seeing from the scriptures. Because scriptures provide ample evidence of who Jesus is. Hebrews 1. From verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So, in verse 1, since we are seeing speaking, what would that refer to? Based on all we have been saying, what would verse 1 be referring to? The message, the intention. Presented through the fathers, through the prophets to the fathers. Remember how we are tracing it? That every generation, every man had had a witness of that intention. All right, then verse 2 now says, as in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So the speaking in verse 2 by the Son will now be what? The incarnation. So we have seen the message, the intention. In verse 2, we now see the incarnation. This word became flesh. Simple. Verse 3 now says, who being, that's the Son there, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty. So, the Son again is described. The express image there talks about character, as meaning that this is the expression of God, the exact expression, the exact representation. The Son is the exact representation of his person, talks about his essence, what makes him him. 2 Corinthians 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is what? The image of God, should shine unto them. So Christ here again is referred to as the image of God. What this means is that the God who you cannot see will find physical expression. You will now be able to see in a man, Jesus. God became a man. Remember Malachi 3:1. The God whom you seek will appear. Malachi 3:1, where we read earlier. The God whom you seek will appear. So who will appear? God. But we cannot see God. So the only way we can see him is as a man. All right. Now, simply means that if you want to know God, if you want to see God, if you want to understand God, you will do so in that his human expression, which is Jesus. You want to see God, the God whom you seek has appeared. So it is the appearance that is who you will find God to know. The God has appeared as a man. To now know this God, you must know how he has appeared or the person that he appeared as. If you disdain this man, still looking for God that is invisible, will you find him? No. So that's in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Let me read 5 and 6. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. Let's read the last part together. To give the light. Are you there? Let's read the last part together. Let's go. Light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Face there is presupposed, is the person of Christ. So the knowledge of God is in the person of Christ. That is all. God wants to be known, but the knowledge of God is in that appearance, that person of Jesus. Now that we have settled all this, let us now see. You know, we have said that Jesus is not God, right? Don't forget all the things we have been saying. We all tie it together. Jesus is not God. But to know God, to see and understand the invisible God, who should you appear? Who should you get to? Jesus. All right, now let's continue now. What did Jesus say about himself? John 14. John chapter 14. Did Jesus at any point in time call himself God? Did he say he is God? John 14. Yeah. Verse 8. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us, is enough for us. Verse 9, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How seest thou then, show us the Father? Was he saying that he is God? Was he saying he was God? No. But he's saying, you are searching for God. I am the God that you should see. If you see me, the knowledge you are looking for, the revelation concerning God you are looking for, you will find it in me. So, God is known in me. That's what he was saying. The revelation of God is seen in me. That speaks of revelation. Are you understanding me? That speaks of revelation. That's so know God is in me, by me. Wanting to know the Father begins and ends with Jesus. Matthew 25. Wanting to know the Father begins and ends with Jesus. That is why he could say, you have seen me, you have seen Father. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. I'm that destination. There is no other door through me that you are going to arrive at. Seeing me, I've seen the Father. Sorry, Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son revealing. Remember, John 1 already tells us that no man has seen God. It is the only begotten that declares him. So no man can understand God except through the only begotten. So also, once you have seen that only begotten, then you have seen the Father. I've been saying the same thing in several words. It pleased the Father that the fullness of divinity may reside fully in Jesus physically. So, Jesus never called himself God. But he made it clear that his humanity is not equal to divinity. Remember, we said that man cannot be God. A man cannot be God. A man cannot be God. But we see that constant difference, that constant reference of Jesus to the Father. My Father is greater than I. My Father. Speaking about the fact that as a man, I am not equal to God, to divinity. Let's explain it. John chapter 14. John 14. What we mean when we say we can understand him by spirit? The revelation of God in Christ asks to understand. Not just a song. What is going on? John 14. Are we there? Verse 25. All right, before we read that, let's read John chapter 10. John 10. John 10, verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. All right, now let's go to John 14 now. Verse 28. John 14, 28. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is what? Greater than I. So you keep seeing that constant reference of Jesus to say that his humanity, as he is in the flesh, is not equal to divinity. It is not. That is why he could say, the Father sent me. Father sent me. Father sent me. Father sent me. I came from the Father. John 5. John 5. We soon get to the end of what we explain. John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now, does this mean that Jesus had CCTV camera connected to him from, let's say, heaven, that as he's seeing what the Father is doing, he's doing as well? That right now he will check, okay, the Father is eating. Of course, that's even ridiculous. Spirits don't eat. Or the Father is, he's chilling. So I must now do. The Father is healing. I must heal. Is that what you were saying? That could not be what you're saying. So let's explain what it means. John 8:42. I'm going to explain all this, but let's see further reference. John 8:42. What did we mean when we say, when Jesus kept saying, the Father sent me? What is he talking about? Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. How was he sent? Was he sitting somewhere and God said, hey, wake up, son. You have been in hibernation. Go to earth. They need you. Now, let's see the how. Hebrews 10. Of course, there are more scriptures where Jesus was referring to him being sent to, and what he sees the Father does, and he does as he's instructed and he likes. But we are going to explain all that. What did he mean? Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. The revelation of God in Christ is ours to understand. Are we there? Please, you must all see this. Hebrews 10 from verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Now, when he cometh into the world, we refer to who? The incarnation. Right? Now, he's saying that sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but the body hast thou prepared me. Verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Now, who will now be the thou that had no pleasure? God. Where was all these things written? In the scriptures. Through prophecies. So, the will and the intention of God was already communicated in the scriptures as utterances of the prophet. Verse 7 now said, then said I. So who will be the I? Don't lose track of the conversation from 5, 6, 7. When he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings, thou wouldest not. Referring to someone, an intention that has been spoken. And don't forget that intention was what? God's intention. In 6, he now says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. 7, then said I. So the I will be who? The incarnation. The incarnated one. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. To what? Do thy will, O God. 8. Above when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. So, what he's saying here is that it was written of me. The intention of God is clearly seen in the scriptures. What God wants is there. Completely there. So Jesus as a man, when he says, I do as I see my father do, the intention of the father is written where? In the scriptures. So, I am sent, will be how? As the scripture has said, someone will come and die for sins. I am to work miracles. I'm to do this. Where was it documented? Same scriptures. I will take away the sins of the world. Where was it documented? Scriptures. Not a 24-hour microphone connection. GPS thing. Are you ready? I'm ready. When will you be ready? Not that kind of back and forth communication. Jesus, as a man, came on earth, studied the same scriptures, understood what he was to do, and did it. Luke 4. Luke chapter 4. Verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. You see, as his custom was, that means it was a regular occurrence of him to search the scriptures that we have already seen in Luke 2 earlier. Verse 17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fasting on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is what? This scripture fulfilled in your ears. Simple. All he did was as documented. In the multitude of utterances from Genesis to Malachi, the role and duty of Jesus was spelled out fully. From Genesis to Malachi, if you read well, you will trace it and see clearly who he was, what he will be, and what he will do. So Jesus studied the same scriptures and simply did as it was written. That is why a word that was used to describe Jesus' actions on earth is called obedience. Right? Obedience. Obey. Obey. What does that obedience mean? He did as written. And that intention that was written is what? The will of the Father. So when you hear statements like, as my Father has sent me, do you understand it clearer now? I see nothing, I do nothing, but as my Father says I should do. Is it clear now? So it is not a everyday ongoing conversation. No. It was all fully documented. That is why he kept telling them, have you not read? Have you not read? Have you not read? And he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. He knew it. He knew what he was to do. So, the will of God the Father, that's what we have seen earlier in part 2, that God the Father spoke through the prophets what will happen. And then Jesus doing those things that has been said. Let's go back to John 10. Now you understand this clearer. John 10. John 10:28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Verse 30, let's read 30 together. I and my Father are one. But what does it mean here? I and my Father, we are united in this purpose. What was the purpose there? Salvation. 28, the giving of life. Because life could not be received fully without the incarnation. And life is God's intention for man. So it was necessary that the incarnation must happen to make life available. And then Jesus said, in this salvation plan, in this design, myself doing it and my Father who has spoken about it, we have the same purpose. We have the same agenda. Not that as is there now is God. Is that clear? All right, thank you for understanding. So that design of God, that work of God is salvation. John chapter 6. John 6. From verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Same purpose, same agenda, to give life to men. Salvation. So, Jesus' action was not his own invention, but rather what has been spoken of him that he would do. Okay, almost done. In the salvation design, we have seen clearly that it is a man that we execute the requirements of salvation and bring it to pass. That is what the scripture says. The utterance says that a man will be the one to bring salvation. Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah 32. Verse 1 and 2. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. So verse 2 says clearly that a man will be the hiding place for other men. A man will be the refuge for other men. A man will bring salvation, will execute salvation for other men. However, this same scripture still says that salvation is only God's portfolio. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 43, verse 11. Isaiah 43:11. I, even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and I have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, said the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am. He that is there, there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will walk, and who shall let it? So the scripture says clearly that salvation is what only God can do by himself. Yet it says that a man will bring salvation for other men, a seed that all the nations will be blessed. So how do we reconcile the two? What is the meeting point of those two things? The God that can bring salvation became a man to bring the salvation. Simple. Salvation is what only God can do, but it's something that a man will be the one to give to men. So the God that is the only one who can be bring salvation became a man to give that salvation to men. That is the incarnation. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2. Verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Talking about the scripture foreshadowed and spoke concerning the fact that he will be like men. Now, verse 14 now says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. That means the ones who need salvation are human beings, are flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same. The same there will be what? Flesh and blood, the same nature as those who need the salvation, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behoved him to be like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So the plan has been forgiveness of sins, reconciliation, that men should receive life. Not that God was counting it against them, but they were unable to receive life. So, for that to happen, God had to come in the form of the men he wanted to save. Now, let us wrap this up. You must believe in the complete humanity of Jesus. You must believe that. Complete humanity. Fully man. It was not like God was doing hide and seek inside a man, trying to do whatever. Avengers. Why? Let's write this as I'm saying this, please. If he came as God, that means if he was not completely man, if he came as God, then redemption is a fallacy. Redemption is a fallacy. His death was film trick, and his compassion was fake. Redemption is a fallacy. His death was film trick. His compassion was fake. Can God die? No, a spirit cannot die. Even the spirit of man is indestructible. It cannot die. So if you now say God that is a spirit should die for man, that means redemption did not happen. Death cannot happen. If you say, if it was written there that Jesus died and that Jesus was God, then that means it was film trick. It was, they're just staging it. Well, of course, that wasn't it. So, God was not forming humility. He was not, how will I say it now? When we say Jesus was a man, not like God was forming humility and say, okay, I'm God though, but I just want to be humble. Just see me as a man, see me as a man. No, he was 100% fully man. Jesus was man. He depended on men for safety. You will see Matthew 1, Luke 2. Say, take this child. Herod wants to kill him. And who did the instruction come to? His parents. Go and hide him in Egypt. If they are not gone, what will happen? They will kill him. Could God himself have been ever be that helpless? No. But that was fully man, depending on others for his safety. When they want to stone him, what did he do? He escaped. Because if they are stoning, will he die? He will die, oh. Don't say, ah, Odeshi, be stoning. I am here. I'm the son of God. Not here. Ah, he will die where? In dying, he shall die. So you must believe in that humanity, that Jesus was 100% man. However, you must not just believe in that humanity. You must believe that that humanity is the incarnation. That this was not just mere being human, that somebody just became a man. No, that humanity is divinity that became humanity. Okay? Bauchi, I've lost you. His humanity is divinity that became humanity. You must not just believe that he was a man. No, you must believe that this was God that became a man. You must believe that this is God, this was God who became a man. Otherwise, you cannot have the life. You can't have life. It was necessary. That is why Jesus kept trying to explain to them, I am he, I am he, I am he. So that they would look beyond his humanity. They would look beyond what they can see to understand where he's coming from, his origin. Okay? All right, let's see now. John 5. We have reached the end of our study. John chapter 5. Oh, glory. John 5. Let's try and speed it up. John 5 verse 21. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickened them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. In the series, the judgment of God, you will understand this clearly, that judgment was committed to the Son, in that the price for redemption was placed on the Son. Okay? All right. Verse 23. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father had life in himself, so had he given to the Son to have life in himself, and had given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. He is the man that can bless. Happy, look at your Bible. Verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing, as I hear I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Now, Jesus kept trying to explain to them that, see, you must believe that I am the one sent. You must believe that I am God in the flesh. Otherwise, you cannot have life. He kept saying it. Look beyond this humanity and see the divinity. See where I'm coming from. I am the God that came to give you life as a man. Looking outside this, if you don't honor the Son as the one whom God has sent, how did God send him? God became a man. If you don't honor the Son in that capacity, you cannot fellowship of the life that is bringing. You can have it. You say, I want life, I want life, I want to go to God directly. And you are told, because he's the Son of Man, because he's a man, he's the one that can give you life. You say, no. Once you despise and disdain divinity and humanity, you will miss God. It's as simple as that. It is the Son that has the authority over life. Son. This Jesus was God who became a man. John 8. It was necessary to prove this. Why? So that you will not see that. You must believe that what Jesus came to do for man is God's action. You must see it that way. So you don't see Jesus as a busybody. Someone who just was born, became hyperactive, just went to open scripture. The scripture, okay, I like it. It was, he said that the man will die. Somebody just wanted to be a hero and wanted to die. He said, okay, I will do everything that the scripture says. Let me just do it and die and go. You must not see him like that. But that's what will happen if you see only the humanity. You must see that this was God who became a man. Do you understand the difference? Do you understand the difference? Aha. So you must not just see a man that is acting on his own. No, you must trace his action as God's action. Through God's will and God's intention. That's what I've been saying. John 8. John chapter 8, verse 23. John 8, 23. And he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. So what would he be referring to? His origin. Where he's coming from. Earth, he was fully man, but he's telling them that where I'm coming from, I was God who became a man for you. Verse 24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am, that I am he, you shall die in your sins. So it was necessary for them to see beyond just Jesus and believe in the Christ. That this is Jesus Christ, the anointed one. Not that they poured oil on his head, but no, that God who became a man to bless man. That is what the Christ means. You must believe in his humanity and his deity as well. He's not just a mere man. This was God who became a man. 1 Timothy 3. A four more scriptures and then we can close. 1 Timothy 3. First Timothy 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Without controversy means there is no argument. This is the general. This is the basis. No belief outside this. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Who was manifest in the flesh? God. He's not just a man. He was God that became a man. He was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Remember that no man had seen God, right? But now that he was manifest in the flesh, all can now see. All men can now behold. Even angels can now behold God. God is seen in Christ. God is seen in Christ. John 1, 1 John 1. The scriptures are voluminous on who Jesus is. It is just being dull that is making persons not understand this. 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of what? The word of life, the intention from the beginning. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father as an intention, and was manifested unto us. How? In his incarnation. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. When you see Father, you must see Son. How? The Father as the one whose will and intention and design salvation is. And the Son as the one who has executed it. God as a man. God as a man. So, we'll now go back to the scripture we started from, John chapter 8. So what did Jesus mean here? John 8, verse 56 to 58. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and he was glad. So if Abraham saw the day of Jesus, and we have seen that the incarnation, there was no incarnation before the incarnation, that Jesus was only manifest when John 1:14 said he was made flesh. So what did Abraham see? What did Abraham see? The message, the intention. So Abraham understood that God's intention. He understood it clearly, that this is what God would do. That it is God's son that would die. That God's son would give life. Abraham understood that resurrection. See, Abraham saw my day and he was glad. So Jesus pre-existed as the intention, the message of God. Verse 57, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. So what will he mean? Talking about his origin. This is now his deity. I was God. And before any man, was there God? Yes. Before any man, was there God? Yes. So, he that was God is telling you that before Abraham, I was. And I am. I exist. I was there. So we see Jesus pre-incarnate as the message and in the deity as God who became a man. Is that simple enough? God became a man. That is the miracle. That is the incarnation. What we call the miracle of the incarnation. That God became a man, yet did not stop being God. That is the miracle. That's why it's called the miracle of incarnation. That God became a man, fully man, yet it was not on record that God ceased to exist. You understand? God did not cease to exist. God was still spirit. But God became a man. Oh man. That is the miracle of incarnation. However, that man that he became was not God. Simple. God became a man, did not cease to exist as God, but the man that he became was not God. Was fully man. But you must see his humanity and also recognize his divinity, that he was God who became a man. So God is still one. We have one God. Now this is concluding now. Scripture tells us that we have one God. Ephesians 4. Just open all the scriptures quickly. The reason why persons try to deny the deity of Jesus is because they feel by so doing, you are agreeing that we have multiple gods. No. God is one. God is one. God is one. Ephesians 4. We have one God. Ephesians 4. Verse 6. One God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We have one God. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 4. As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. So we have one God. However, in redemption, in salvation, salvation, all God did to make man have life. That's the salvation plan. In that salvation, we see this one God in different duties or activities to actualize that salvation for man. As we have said, like the example I gave you, I said, using myself as an example, I am a mother, I am a wife, I am a lawyer, I am a daughter, I am a sister. Well, how many person am I? One. So, in what, how will you be able to tell that, okay, this is a wife? By my role, by what you see me do, by the activity. How will you be able to say that this is a mother? You see me with my kids. You see what I'm doing. How will you be able to tell this is a sister? So it is that distinction only happens in activities. You distinguish God in activities. And the activity is as it relates to salvation. It's as simple as that. There's no mystery to who God is. God is one. Just one God. But because of the plan he has for man, salvation for man, we'll see that same God doing several things in different roles to bring about that salvation for man. Now, this scripture will just clear it finally for you. 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2. Just bear with me. 5 minutes, I'll be done. 1 Timothy. Chapter 2. Verse 5. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. I want us to all read this together. Are we there? All right, let's go. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. How many God? One. How many mediator? One. Who? Christ Jesus. So what's the distinction? The role. They defined it there for you, mediator. To bridge the gap between humanity and divinity, God became a man. So in that role, we see Jesus. In that activity, in that role. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. See this again. For to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him. And one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Divine, look at your Bible. You must see what I'm trying to distinguish for you. Verse 6. But to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him. So when we say the Father of whom are all things, what is he describing there? Of whom are all things, that will, that design, that plan is whose? Is God's. Do you understand? Now, you don't see, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. So what would that describe? How it happened, how it came to pass, by him, through him. You get the distinction. We see the Father in the intention. We see the Son in the actualization. But one God. One God. Something can only be done by God. Says, okay, this is what it will be. Spoken throughout the ages. Well, I'm the only one that can do it, and I need to be a man. Okay, I'll be a man. Yes, he still remains God, but here, fully man. His role, his function is that he's a man who can bring redemption. Simple. One who executes. We see God, the Father, as the originator and the source, and we see the Son as the executor. Same God. So, finally, if you are not ready to understand salvation, please, just leave the Godhead alone. If you're not ready to understand salvation, just believe God as God. Don't make inquiry into Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That's because that distinction only exists where? In salvation. So, you must understand salvation to understand God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. In salvation, we learn that it is one God doing different duties to bring about the same purpose. So, you don't understand salvation and you're attempting to learn Trinity, Godhead, whatever you want to call it, you arrive at confusion. So, who is the Son? Who is the Son? The Son was God who became a man. Simple. We identify God in his duty. How we can distinguish God as Father, Son, is in the duty. And Ephesians 2:10 tells us that that duty is salvation. That work, God's work is salvation. We are his workmanship. All right, let's read it. Let me not read for you. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2:10. You will see the distinction again there. You just need to pay attention when you study the scriptures and you will see it clearly written. Ephesians 2, verse 10. Are you there? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had what? Before foreordained that we should walk in them. So who did the plan and the willing and the intention? God, as the Father. Who did the, how was it done? By Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus. The happening came about because of Christ. That is it. You see God as the designer, the initiator, and Jesus as the executioner, the one God. So, you must treasure humanity. You must treasure humanity. It is not too big to hear that men bore the glory of God. No. The scripture spoke concerning it. What we sang earlier, that your sufficiency is God. That God can bless the world through you. Don't see it as perfect. No. God already placed a value on man by doing what? Becoming a man. So if God sees humanity as something potent and valuable enough to be, how dare you now despise that same humanity? Do you understand? Is it clear now? All right, our final scripture. Let's be on our feet. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Oh, glory to God. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face, in the person, in the appearance of Jesus Christ as a man. Verse 7, let us read together. Let's read verse 7 again. Are we ready? Everyone, we are going to read it together. Verse 7, let's go. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So what does earthen vessel describe? Our humanity. We have this treasure, the fullness of God in humans. So that you will always appreciate that the source and the glory of this power is God and not you. Simple. If you ignore man and you are in search of God, you will not find him. You will not find him. God is seen in Christ and in his sons today. Everything you want to receive from God, blessings, healings, direction, even money. You will get it how? Amen. There's no tap that God will pour and money will just, all those money coming to me now. Through the same man. Say you have been praying for something and God quick tickles, as Pastor likes to use. Henry has been praying for a fridge. And God tickles Ijoma, give Henry your fridge. And Ijoma refused to respond to God. So God tickles somebody else, give Henry fridge. Henry keeps praying. And Grace brings the fridge to Henry. And Henry says, no, it is God that I'm waiting for to give me a fridge. See, my fridge coming from God, not from man. What shall happen to Henry? Then when he gets to heaven, I say, God, I cried for a fridge. Where were you? I hope there will be tapes, yeah? We'll now play it and we'll see Grace bringing the fridge. And you told her no, that you wanted God. You despise humanity, you will never find God. So is it healing? Is it direction? I don't know what to say. Whatever it is that you are trusting God for, just look to your neighbor and see the answer. Look to your neighbor beside you. I said the person is not born again. Let's be sure. Are you born again? If you are not born again, yeah, please let me identify you. So that we don't go and say something that is not. Of course, You have believed that Jesus died for your sins, resurrected. You have the Holy Ghost. Now are you a son of God? So look to your neighbor. Just what have you been praying for and expecting? Is it fervency? Is it working in the miraculous? What exactly, or is it learning? Is it understanding? Look to your neighbor, you'll find it. So now look to your neighbor. Don't despise God in humanity. It doesn't matter that he's tall, short. He's not looking serious. He wasn't dressed well. He's not smiling. Forget about the physical appearance. Do you know how Jesus looks like? Forget all those pictures they draw. Have you seen Jesus' physical appearance? So how can you judge what is correct according to physical appearance? You don't. You simply receive the divinity inside. So it's not a function of you're tall, you're not fine, you're not... I don't know. You have the Holy Ghost, then you have the answer I need. Simple. That is how you must see men. The ones who are not saved, you see them as ones that God can indwell. The ones who are saved, you see them as God to you. Simple. You are going to be blessing one another consciously, deliberately. You can know what your neighbor needs, even if he doesn't want to say it. Okay, ensure there's no first time all paired together. So, you will consciously bless. See, I know I told you earlier, tell your neighbor that I am the God that will bless you in this service. You must bless, oh. Do you understand? Things are needed, and it will happen from us. If you don't believe that, then I dare you. If you say that this person prayed for you and you did not see any difference, and then Pastor Noika prayed for you and you saw the difference. You know the difference? You saw God in Pastor Noika. That's the difference, though. He doesn't have a different Holy Ghost. Right? But just that you were open to believe that, okay, God is here. And you despise the other. That's all. Nothing else. But we are not such men. No. We are not. What other criteria will I have to stand here to minister? God is in me. Simple. Why would you receive my ministry? Believe that God is in me. That's all. So it might be me standing here. It might be happy standing here. But so long as you look beyond the shell to see God within, you are free to receive fully every time. All right, go ahead and bless one another. Consciously. Bless one another fully. Fully. Oh, fully, fully. We're going to do at least 3 persons, so be fast. In 5 minutes for one, just ensure you give fully what is needed. Fully what is needed. Fully, fully. Wisdom is given here. You can have a word of wisdom for a person and say, that step you want to take, don't. Take this one instead. That thing that has filled your mind too much, calm down on it. Think more in this area. Think more in this area. We don't ignore men and we are searching for God. No. God is seen in Christ and in his sons today. If we can receive salvation from Jesus, then we can receive God's blessings from one another. They are men too. They are men. They are men. Oh, back in those feg, na hinga bante tus propavito broncos kegos gaba patata. A pumbrus who vons at a case a bumble pond de la kiga vonsa than that dash who bros gave and oba. Benditus go break TV ghost came and burned of fika legiba kanda tato bronska papata nanska. Who's who von bro bones a vegetita pegatico promposka. The veil of inferiority is gone. The veil of inferiority is gone. Ha! The veil of inferiority is gone. You are only not the same as Jesus because you were not the God that became a man. But in all things, in all things, you are like him. In all things, you are like him. In all things, you are like him. The veil of inferiority is gone. That lie that the devil has trapped you in, that you cannot do and you cannot fulfill the best of God's intent. No, you are God's intention already because you have the Spirit of God. It is left for you to live it out. Don't let others disdain the God in you. Hey, do not let others disdain the God in you. Do not let character flaws make you disdain the God in yourself. No, 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 no. You are sufficient of God. Your sufficiency is God. Your sufficiency is God. Your sufficiency is God. You know what to bless your neighbor with. You know what to bless your neighbor with. And you will receive it as though God himself is the one ministering to you. It's what Paul spoke concerning the Corinthian church. That you received our message as though it was God himself standing and giving it to you. That's the attitude we have with one another. That's the attitude we have with one another. God became a man. God became a man. But don't find someone else. We receive as much as we can. As much as we can. Oh, glory to God. As much as we can. As much as we can. Oh, shit. Hey, man. Oh, Saturday. Can I make to break it? Did you go to Ramadan? Ah, for it's God that walks inside of me to will and to do of his perfect will. For it's God that walks inside of me to will and to do of his perfect will. For it's God that walks inside of us to will and to do of his perfect will. Oh, I see God everywhere. Oh, is that walk inside of us to will and to do of his perfect will. For it's God that walks inside of me to will and to do. Woo! Of his perfect will. Glory to God. Fullness of blessings. Oh, Paul said, I know when I come, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Amen. Say, I have fullness to bless you with. Fullness to bless you with. Oh, to will and to do of his perfect will. On a day and a mercy. Do not hesitate to lay hands and rebuke sickness. Do not hesitate. Don't worry. Your neighbor sees you as God that can bless him. Do not hesitate. If you are done, search for someone else as much as we can. As much as we can receive in 5 minutes.